One day after my father passed away, my dad passed away in 1980, and I was working with my mom painting a room in one of our rentals, and she was sharing about my dad. And she shared some things about my dad that I never knew about. And a lot of those words I continue to hold and cherish in my heart. And I got to see things about my dad that I really never knew about before. And it was precious to hear some of those stories. I'm reminded to write down some of these things, because we often forget, especially a guy like me, I just forget things, right? But many of the things that were really precious to me, sometimes my dad's not going to tell me certain things about himself, but I heard it from my mom, so it was really pleasurable to be able to hear that. Jim Henry, who's a pastor, he tells a story. He calls it the parable of the perfect father. But that's pretty intimidating already. Parable of the perfect father. Oh, by the way, I gotta stop there. Welcome back, Michael and CN. I didn't see you guys there. There you were you guys here all this time? Okay. You guys just sneaked in. We've been praying for you. Good to see you guys back. Parable of the perfect father. Isn't that kind of intimidating? He says that a pastor friend of mine said that a young lady came for counseling and sat down across from him. She was 30 years old, single, and teary-eyed. She had talked to him and shared her heart. It was evident that she saw that marriage had to be the key to her happiness. Without marriage, all she could see was a protracted loneliness. So, as he listened to her, he said, "What kind of man are you looking for?" He said for the next 30 minutes, she told him what kind of man she was looking for. He said that after hearing her ideal of a man that never existed, he said to her, "Could you just bring it down to one phrase?" And she said, "Yes, I am looking for the total man." Whoa. A total man. This ideal man, of course, this ideal father, as Jim Henry says, that person doesn't exist. But we have the best example, our Heavenly Father. He is our Father's example. Let's go to Him in prayer. Lord, it is so wonderful that You reveal Yourself as Father to us. Lord, we come before You as Your children. We thank You for telling us about Yourself. We thank You for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son coming down to us, being our brother, being our Savior. We thank You for the Holy Spirit being our counselor, our guide, our healer. Father, thank You for all that You are to us. Now, Lord, as we think about Father's Day, I pray that You would be our example and that we would not be intimidated by that example, Your example, but really see, Lord, that it's a beautiful thing what You've set up, father-child relationship. Thank You, God, as we enter into that, help us to have a humble heart. Help us to have wise hearts. Help us to see our lives in the context of Your divine work in the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we come here today, as I've talked to many of you, as many of you have shared your own stories, we have a wide array of people. We have people here who had a father, maybe much like mine, my father, even though my father departed my early adulthood. There are things I wish that I could have talked to my dad about as a grown adult. I was still in college when he died, and at that time, I was still doing my own thing. I really never sat down and had a really nice, deep conversation. Some of your fathers are continuing to live on. Other people have fathers they never knew. Some people were orphans. Some people have fathers who were abusive, and The last thing you want to know, be hang around with, is your father. And so what better place than the church to be able to come to a place where we can see that there is a perfect example, an example from our Heavenly Father. For our text today, I'd like to take a look at John chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. And I'm just going to make 2 points out of this sermon. Just 2 points. John chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. And we're going to, why don't we read this together? This is on our screen here. And we've covered this just a couple of years ago, rather in depth. So this should be kind of a refresher for us, but how appropriate on Father's Day that we should talk about this. Okay, so let's read this together. Ready, go. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, 'I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these.'" I'd like to unpack this scripture as a reminder of our Heavenly Father's presence in the world. Jesus says here that our Father, his Father, is always at his work. To this very day, he says, to this very day, Father is at his work. Sometimes we might think of God as the God who works 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, and he just continued to rest. And he's just on this day off, he's just watching the world go. He just kind of like, some people have this theological view that the world is like a clock. You just wind it up, and you stick it on the counter, and you just let it run. But Jesus is saying, the Father is always at his work to this very day. And he says, "I too am working." Now, the Jews got all mad at him because by saying that, he's saying, I'm like the Father. I'm one with the Father. Now, he had just healed somebody on the Sabbath, and they did not like people being healed on the Sabbath. This guy that he healed was paralyzed for 38 years. Paralyzed for 38 years, trying to squirm his way into this pool as they were taught that when the water stirs, you get into the pool, the angel stirs the water, you get into the pool and you'll be healed. But how are you going to get into the pool? That's like pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. You can't even do that. So Jesus is saying the Father is at his work. And what Jesus just did was heal that man. And he's saying, this work that I did, that was from the Father. The Father's working healing, I am working healing. And he says the Father is at his work. He says the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. And he says the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. And so really we get a picture of Jesus participating with the Father. Jesus is not just a guy on his own that wants to do his own thing. And then every so often he'll check in with the Father to see what the Father wants to do, and he'll be on his errand for the Father. No, Jesus is saying, I am in sync with the Father. Henry Blackaby emphasizes that this is not just doing things for God, but to see what God is already doing in the world all around us, to see what is God doing in the world around us, and then get involved with that. Does that make sense? It's a different way of seeing ministry for a lot of people. For a lot of people, it's, I receive Jesus Christ, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, now I just do my own thing. But Jesus is saying, no, let's see what the Father's doing in the world all around us, and let's participate with that. Let's join God in what he's doing. Earthly fathers, the lesson here would be, include your children in your life. Include your children in your work if that's possible. Do what you can do to bring your child along as much as you can. Show your child how to work. Show your child what you're doing. Hopefully it's something good and that you can have a good positive effect in your child. Now, I know this is very difficult. For a lot of times, we can't bring our children into our working place. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. I remember I went to my dad's office maybe three times. He worked with the state, and a couple of times, instead of leaving me in the car, he brought me into his office. And I thought, well, this is cool. You know, he sits at a desk, and you know, it was after work, so nobody else was there. But that's about as all he could do. But he was involved with me in a lot of other ways. Amy's dad showed her how to change the oil in her car, how to change the tires, how to change the air filter. Isn't that awesome? And when she told me that, I thought, wow, I'm in love. She can change my oil. No, but her dad also taught her how to drive. And that explained a lot of things. Because I loved how she drove. She drove like a guy. And I don't want to alienate women who drive slow and really kind of scared, but I get really nervous when I ride with women who drive slow. So she drove like a guy. I thought, okay, this I can handle. I'm in love. I think I want to marry her. So romantic, yeah? Say, So there's a lesson here. Young ladies, want to get married? Fathers, want to marry off your daughters? Teach them how to change the oil in your car. Okay, anyway. Okay, so the idea of this is, dads, participate with your children. Yes, even if your child's a dad, even if your child's a girl, bring them into your life. Invite them into your activities. A father who included his children into his activities used to be automatic in the past. Used to happen so easily before. When you were a farmer, when you had animals or you had crops, it was easy to bring your kids right along with you and to help you out. And we did this as a family. We did what we did as a family. If you made products, you made a carpet or tent or something, you did fabric, you could have your kids join you and you could teach them to do that. But in our day and age, parents go one way, kids go another way, and kids go off to school and you don't see them for 6-8 hours. And then they have sports and then they're running around with them and trying to find them and taking them here to there. And so it's a lot harder to show them the character and pass on that character because you're not working with them all day long. When you work with your child, you can teach them the principles of sowing and reaping. When you work hard and you sell a product, you work hard, get a crop. You work hard, you have the farm animal to sell. But that all of those opportunities are a lot less, so we have to actually look for these opportunities to help our to be involved in our kids' lives. Not just having our kids enter into our lives, but we have to enter into the lives of our kids. So when our kids were in music, for instance, we would go there, take them to rehearsal, and we sit there in the rehearsal and just kind of be there with them. We can understand what's going on and listen to them, listen to the teacher, and things like that. If they're in sports, sometimes you can watch them practice, go to their games, and things like that. But absentee dad is a huge problem, especially for children. And it's really difficult nowadays. It's I admit, it's a lot harder today than it was before. It's difficult for dad to work most of the day, fight a long commute coming home, have energy for the kids. And what if you have multiple kids? What do you do? At the pastor's retreat, I stayed at a house of a couple who had three kids, a son and two daughters, and they told me their schedule, and it was crazy. It was just so frantic. And the son was a college-level hockey player, and they went all over the place. You fly all over the place to go to different places to be with the child. It was nice that they could spend time together. The mom took their daughters to gymnastics, high-level gymnastics as well. It was good that they could travel with the daughters, but it was crazy. And it reminded me of Amy and my schedule when we were young. Fortunately, when you become grandparents, all your stress goes away, right? No? Oh, I thought that's what happens, but it doesn't. Actually, I'm a grandparent now, and that's true. It's wrong. Now, I'm still in touch with the school and doing this and that with my granddaughter. So what is sad, though, is oftentimes the crazy schedule of the parents. In all that craziness, sometimes church gets pushed out. Sometimes our devotions get pushed out. And then how do you bring your child into your world if you're not going to church anymore, or if you're not having your devotions, if your children don't catch you having your quiet time, they don't see you having your quiet time? I've made a lot of effort to bring my children into my world, so much so that my son at one time commented to how many of his friends were grown-ups. And he thought it was weird because he would have these conversations with his friends at school, and they would have no friends who were grown-ups. And his parents, well, no, forget that. But he said, you know, all my close friends are grown-ups. I thought about that. That's kind of weird. All my friends were kids. But all my son's friends are grown-ups. Why? Because I brought him into music and go to worship rehearsals, and they're hanging out with John Wong and Robert Young and all these other people. You guys see him with the band, at the Nahu Aloha Band, when you go to the various events we go to. He's there with Russell Carvalho, Scotty Iseri, and we're all 60 years old. But my son is in his early 30s, and he just feels right at home with us. So, around 60. Okay, not everybody's exactly 60. Okay, so I just wanted to simplify the sermon. So, but what you discover is that you can do more if you can combine your time with the kids with time at church. And that's really the ideal way to do that, of course. And so a lot of churches have various different kinds of activities. Christian hula, right? Softball, basketball teams, and things like that. Joel, we cleaned up Hal Jensen's yard one day, and Joel brought his kids over along with the youth. And his kids got to watch him, his expertise in whacking all that brush. Ho! He should have a PhD in brush whacking. Joel, you're the man. No wonder. So anyway, we do a lot of things like that for our youth here at West Oahu. And, you know, cleaning up, going to excursions. And a lot of our kids in our ministry need to have that father figure in their lives. And so that's really, really important in these youth nights or youth activities that we go to. Church cleanup, by the way, is a great way to invite our own kids, not just the youth, but our own kids to come and help out. And by the way, we have a church cleanup coming up soon. How about that? What a coincidence. So our Father's example shows us how to work. Our Father's example shows us how to work because He invites us in. Our Father's example also shows us His love. Shows us His love. So why does a father work with his son? Jesus says, because the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. You can just imagine this, the Heavenly Father saying, I love you, son. I'm going to show you everything that I do. In my early days of parenting, I learned that quality time cannot come without quantity time. You cannot just sit down for 15 minutes and have quality time. Okay, let's schedule in quality time. Really, you need to have a certain amount of quantity just to kind of be there and hang out with the kids and allow them time to unpack their souls. You know, the time together is really important, but it's really not so much about time. as much as what the time represents. The time represents, I love you, to the child. The child knows that you can be doing something else. You know, if your father's busy, he could be doing something else. But he takes the time to spend with you. And then it's no longer about the time, it becomes about the father's love. And that's what we see here. And if we don't have time for our children interpret a dad's absence as not being loved. The dad might love the child to no end, but without spending that time, the child will interpret it as lack of love. So we hear so many testimonies, don't we, about prisoners, people in prison. The common thread of all these people in prison was, I never knew my dad, or I didn't have a dad. My dad abused me, or something like that. So part of this love is not just being in spending time, but also being expressed in affirmation. Expressed in affirmation. At Jesus' baptism and transfiguration, both of those times, the Father booms from heaven in a loud voice, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Wow. Can you just imagine Jesus? Jesus is just there. And the Father's voice proclaims, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Wow. The term well pleased is the term delight or good pleasure. Good pleasure. You know, some fathers are so critical of their children that the children feel they can do nothing right in the eyes of their father. Some children receive no indication of delight from their fathers. Some children only receive criticism. Some fathers think that beating up their children will somehow make them strong. It actually makes them insecure because everyone needs love. I think of the words of Dr. James Dobson, who rings in my ears. He says, "You need to dare to discipline, but you need to go overboard on love." Loving affirmation strengthens the emotional bonds, and it enables children to stand against the forces of Satan and temptations out there. Elvis Burroughs notes how Jesus received the affirmation of his Father at his baptism. And remember, here it is. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." And right after that, Jesus is led into the desert by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by none other than the devil himself. Can you imagine Jesus going into the desert to be tempted without any affirmation from his Father? Just kind of like a big blank wall behind him. How easy would it be for him to give in to Satan's temptation? Pretty easy. But imagine now Jesus going into the desert to be tempted by Satan, but he hears his Father saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And now he hears this temptation from Satan. He says, "Forget you, Satan. I'm secure in my Father." Providing that love, that voice, that word of affirmation to our children is part of affirmation, that I love you, I'm proud of you, I am so pleased with you. That's why it's so important for us to find things that are good that are happening in our children's lives. It's so easy to see the errors and the problems and things that they do wrong. And when they're eating at the table, 15 minutes of the time, the milk's on there and they're drinking it. And then one time, they knock it over and milk falls off. And then all of the accusation, all of the criticism goes about the milk that was spilled. But nothing said about the 15 minutes when the child didn't spill the milk. We need to be more like the Father who affirms the Son. I'd like to ask the band to come up, and I'd like to ask us to think about a couple of questions. Really, there are two main groups of people that I want to talk to today. Fathers, out of your love for your children, do you do stuff together? And of course, this is not only for little children. It would be for grown children as well. Do you do stuff together? I mean, Jesus was how old when he entered his ministry? About 30 years old. Jesus was about 30 years old, and he's participating with his Father's work. Isn't that something? Fathers, out of love for your kids, do you do stuff together? Do stuff with your children. Our Heavenly Father is, and the second point of this is, maybe you had a father that wasn't there for you. He was nothing like the Heavenly Father. Guess why we have the Heavenly Father? Because your father was not perfect. That's why Jesus, that's why the Father is not ashamed to say, I will be your father. Accept me as your father. Accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and I will adopt you into my family. Jesus came to enable his Father to be our Father. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ today, I'd like to ask you to follow me in this prayer. Our Father, I want you to be my Father. Thank you for your love that sent Jesus Christ to die for my sins. I receive Jesus into my life now. Be my Father. Perfect example to give me the wisdom and the track to follow. Thank you, Lord. If you've prayed that prayer, Jesus Christ comes into your life, calls you his brother, and the Heavenly Father will be your Father. Father, thank you for these moments, Lord, we can reflect upon you. There's so much more we could say, but we're so grateful for these words of Jesus. Help us now, Lord, to be followers of you, our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.